What is going on? You are listening to Tags Podcast, aka Talk About Gay Sex Podcast. I'm your host, Steve V, and this is episode 308 alongside Cody Maurice Doggett. How the hell are you doing, Cody?
Hello, darling. I'm doing well. How are you doing today?
Really good. Really good on this Monday when we record it.
You can hear your voice, right?
Yeah, and back with us is Jeremy Ross Lobos, fresh sun-kissed from Aruba. How are you?
Ooh. I am really excellent.
Nice. What was your trip like? What can you tell us about Aruba?
It was peaceful. The beach is beautiful. The fish and all of the food there is excellent.
Oh, I bet.
It was really just a beautiful, blissful experience. Yeah.
Oh, nice, nice. You were telling us offline, not like a lot of gay community,
but no,
you were
with more. Unfortunately, it's very funny because I was, when you check the apps, it's always fun to see who's in the area. And it's so close to so many other countries that literally the gay distance that it measures, some people are right. Like, in Venezuela, and they come up like nearby, and so it was just funny because some guys were in Curacao and a bunch of other islands that are close,
okay,
but they come under the location of nearby because there's not that many gays.
Oh. So that's where you apps. That's where you need our former guest from sniffies.com, because it's more location based and then even pulls up plot points, right, Cody? Don't you think that would be a better...
Or learn how to swim. That's all I can
say. To Caracas? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that would be smart if you could do that. You know what? I had a good weekend, but I wanted to follow up on advice that you, Cody, and our other co-host, Lincoln, gave to me last week. It's always nice when we can get a follow-up, right?
And oh, for sure.
To fill you and Jeremy and everyone listening, there was a guy that I had known when I first moved here to New York City, and he was really hot. We went to a huge party at the time, Alegria, and we're making out the whole night, and then had sex like another day. And he was a friend of a friend, so we ended up traveling together, like to Brazil. Not he and I, but like a group of us, because we shared this one common denominator friend. And I think after the fact, it always just turned into friendship, because I don't know why, it just did. But I always kind of had a thing for him. And more recently, I've seen him posting stuff on the gram, and I've been thinking, oh, he's looking great. And so I saw him out at our bar Eagle here in New York City, and went up to him and was kind of flirting. And anyways, long story short, I decided, my question was, how should I approach it from here on out? Right, Cody?
That was I remember. I'm waiting with bated breath to find out how this goes.
Well, okay. So here's the deal. I text him. He owns a bar here in New York City. And I text him and said, hey, what nights are you going to be there? I chose that route, right? Because he owns a gay bar, right?
Yeah. And it's why not?
And I decided to say, what nights are you going to be there? He said Friday, Saturday. So Saturday rolled around and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go over there. But it was like maybe 12:45, getting close to one. I get in there and it's Adonis night, you know, the dancers. And they have like a curtain at the front of the bar. So in case you like looked in, you don't see any boys in their thongs picking up the people that are like hanging out there. And it wasn't that busy. I decide to sit at the bar and text my friend and say, hey, I just wanted to let you know I'm sitting at the bar. Are you here? I'm having a drink. And he responds, which was great, and said, hey, I'll be up in a few.
Okay.
And I thought, cool, because I think he has like an office down in the basement. So a few turned into me having two margaritas and ordering my third margarita, which at that point I'm having this third margarita, and mind you, I'd paid the cover to get in, because when they have an Adonis night, you have to pay for that cover. I had sat through a lot of guys that I was not interested in, because some of them tend to be, they come up to you, and I know most of them are straight, and some of them are very sexy and hot. I just was not in that mode.
Okay.
One of them coming up to me, who was all like, you know, they love to give you a massage and do that whole thing. He's like, had BO though. And I thought, how are you going to have BO? I know.
Oh,
I'm like, how are you going to have BO and then try and have somebody go back for a lap dance?
Because that is not cute.
They have a, no, it's not. And so I kept fending off. I order that third margarita. I glance down and we're approaching 40 minutes of my friend still not coming up at all. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I finished that third margarita. It's about 45 minutes later from when I text him, because I looked at when I text him.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know what? I'm leaving. Like, whatever. So I walk out. He's in the front, sitting down, like, at the front, because there is these curtains, right, that I couldn't see at the entrance. Yeah. So he's sitting, like, by the window of the near the entrance, I think with some people. And I was just going to storm over there and be like, hey, I'm out. Or, you know, and as I was going to storm over there, a dancer, a dancer appears from nowhere and is like, cock blocks me, literally, because I think he was in his G-string, and approaches my friend and is like, so they have their moment. But then I was like, he had to have seen me. So I pulled back for a second until they do whatever they were doing. And when I found a moment, I walked over there. But when I was like, hey, I was like, oh, hey. And he like came in for me, kind of like a football player would come in for somebody, you know what I mean? And like grabs me, like, but with a bear hug, if you will. And I'm like, so I hug him and I was like, oh, hey, I was just leaving. And I'm going to start. He said not one word. But when I looked at him, his eyes were slant. And I know he's a pothead. So what I ascertained was he was high off his mind, as a pothead only would be, and probably lost track of just everything and forgot. But to me, it's like, seriously, it's your bar. You own the place. It was like 1 something, not that late, and you're that high that you can't remember that to come by and say hi to somebody. I don't know.
Yeah. Red flag. Definitely.
Yeah, that's annoying and sounds like a waste of time.
Yeah, I mean, I just thought it was rude just because I said, hey, I'm here, and he said I'll be up in a few. Like, at what point did he not remember to not just come and check? Like, somehow he either had a different way of getting up and I didn't see him come up, but it's not like when I saw him, he said, oh, hey, I've been looking for you, or I didn't, you know, sorry, I missed you.
I got busy. Nothing.
And I think he was just totally high off his mind and in one of those. So I was like, you know what? I'm glad all of this happened in a contained amount of time. Mm-hmm. Liking him a lot on the gram, seeing him in reality shortly after that, going up to him, expressing that I was interested still in him, and then going to the bar shortly after that and finding out he's a douchebag. Not a douchebag, but but just not worth my time. Or time to move on, right? I mean, I don't know. What are your thoughts on the recovery or the return on my story, Cody?
Well, I personally think that when you make the effort to go see somebody, you want that effort to be reciprocated. So I think the fact that he completely forgot that you were there, or I don't know, got too high to remember. I'm confused. Don't think that that's okay. I think that he should have thought enough of you to come upstairs, if not immediately, within a reasonable amount of time to come upstairs. So, but I mean, you can still mess around with them. I would think that's perfectly acceptable to mess around with them.
Yeah, I mean, but it would all have to come on his terms and forget it. I'm kind of moving on. What are your thoughts, Jeremy, on this whole story?
I say bye, Felicia, and on to the next one.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have even said hi at the door, and I would have just walked out, and like that would have been it.
Yeah, I mean, I've known him for a long time, and we've been on and off. I've seen him, like, we're that kind of acquaintance friends, and he's a cool guy, but I think I was trying to go back to that earlier time, And he seemed receptive to it when I saw him a couple weeks ago. But I think to kind of like, wow, you own a bar and you're that high that like a friend texts you and he's upstairs and you can't even remember to like go up there and just say, hey.
Yeah.
is kind of like, yeah, I'm glad I just said hi and then I'm out the door. And even, you know, you can check your text the next day. He would have seen that initial text. And it's not like the next day I got a text that said, oh, hey, sorry about last night or anything about last night. Sorry, I didn't have a chance to talk to you or have a single word with you.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, forget it. And I'm just not going to, you know, I'm not going to rule him out. Well, I'm definitely ruling him out and moving on, but I'm not going to like a lot of it. And he's new to Instagram and he doesn't know anything about like hashtags or anything. I am not helping him out.
Ooh, shame.
Well, you know, because I think he could have better content. He has good content, but he's new to it. You know, he's kind of a late bloomer in all this. And yeah. So I'm not helping him on that. So moving on. But it was fun while it all lasted. You know what? It is Halloween season, and I couldn't help but for whatever reason, I've gotten into Halloween movies this season. And I don't know if it's because we've had all that pandemic all last year, lockdown. But for some reason, I've been watching Halloween and all these movies. And I was watching a documentary on the history of horror films. And I couldn't help but quote this actress who starred in Nightmare on Elm Street. Did you guys ever see any of those? They were not my favorite because they were creepy.
I've watched all of them.
I've seen all of them. Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, now I kind of want to, because the reason why I was telling a friend of mine that I've been more scared of those, because it's not like a knife and a slasher or a chains. It's like all he controls your dreams and your mind. Yeah. And that freaks me out.
And Johnny Depp is in the first one.
He is. So she, Heather Langenkamp.
Oh my God, I know her name. Oh my God.
Was in the actress in 1984. And I quoted her, I wrote this quote down because she was talking about her experience on that first Nightmare on Elm Street. And she said, my very first fans of all people were young gay men. She Aww. Said they, she, of all, like, we're talking about a horror film, y'all.
Yeah.
She said they told me that they were using Nancy, which was her character, as they faced their families in revealing their true selves, like coming out. She said they expressed to me that it was their, quote, Freddy, that thing that was scary that they had to face. So, and she also said kids also came up to her who were bullied. And lastly, she said Wes Craven, who wrote all this, probably never knew how this Nancy Freddy dynamic was really going on, which actually was helping many people. And I think she was really alluding to the fact that people, Freddy was that thing, that nightmare, that thing that huge, larger than life obstacle that threatened your life. And you know, when you're younger, I can relate to that as a kid, just not wanting to be gay. And I mean, that I wish I remember friends of mine watched it. I was such a goody-goody back then, and my parents wouldn't let me watch any of those things. And I just, but I remember friends told me about the nightmare and, you know, all the films, and I wish I would have gotten into it because I could have used it. Can you relate to that at all, Cody, and what she's saying?
Oh, for sure.
Fans?
When you're a kid, fear is just part of growing up in your adolescence, and I can see now, looking back, how being able to face your fear like Nancy did back in the day was it admirable, and how it helped me do the same thing in my life. So I love it. I'm so glad that she's looking at it like that. That's so heartwarming that all her fans are reminiscing with her about that like that. That's so awesome.
Yeah, and Jeremy, you were a fan of these films?
I love all scary movies, to be honest. I've seen, my favorites are Halloween, to be honest. But I have watched, Scream and Jason and Friday the 13th. And then I love all the cheesy ones, too. I just love Halloween in general.
Well, Halloween, I just watched the first one, 1978, and made my way through Halloween 2.
Oh, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, wow. That one's on my list. So I'm going to be watching that one next.
The original is so scary and good.
You know, the originals are always the best. I did watch Scream, though. I had watched it before, and it was I was reminded how good it was.
Oh, my God. Jada Pinkett Smith and Drew Barrymore.
She's in number two.
And Neve Campbell. Neve Campbell and
Courtney Cox.
Courtney Cox and David Arquette. And you know, there's a new film coming out in 2022. I just saw the trailer for it, and it looks really good. And they're all in it.
Yeah, I saw
it. Yeah, I'm so excited about it. So I'm going to continue my...
Oh, and Halloween just came out. I think it actually came out on Friday.
It did.
The new Halloween, and it has Jamie Lee Curtis and Kathy Hilton's sister, Kyle Richards, who was in it when she was a child.
What? Yes, and I saw the original... the 1978 with Kyle Richards as a little girl, and it's so funny to see her. She was good then, and so now I want to see the new one. And apparently there's some gay gay actors in the new version of it, so I want to see this new version of it. So excited.
Okay. I'm ready. Invite me to go. I want to go with you.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, we've been trying to talk about this next topic a little bit, and we haven't gotten to it. It's about the Dave Chappelle special, where the trans community is really upset with him about comments that he has been stating, right, Cody? I mean,
yep.
What can you tell me? Because I actually thought, you know what? I'm going to watch it. And I watched it today just to see where it's coming from. And I have a lot to say about it, but give us a little background on why people are mad and then what your thoughts on it. And then I'll tell you where I'm coming from, Cody.
So I feel like the trans community is upset because basically from what I have gleaned from watching Instagram stories, and I watched a 2-hour Instagram live of trans women talking just about this. And from what I've been able to get from just listening to them, because that's who really matters in this conversation. We're, like, us as gay men don't get to represent trans people in this, in things of this matter. Dave Chappelle doesn't affirm their existence as trans people. He kind of doesn't understand where they're coming from, and it's not his job to understand them. And I think that what they really are upset about is that the jokes leads to violence. And I think that I agree with my sisters, and I stand in solidarity with them, because I watched this TV show called Evil, and this is kind of off topic, but it's on topic. So, and in that show, the Rwandan genocide, this whole thing. Okay. There was this comedian, and he was making jokes about the Tutsis or one of the tribes there, and it came back that the jokes were the reason that the violence was happening. So it's kind of just like repeating that cycle, because jokes can lead to violence, basically, is what it alluded to.
Yeah, and part of the whole thing is Netflix. People have been mad at Netflix, like, why have they kept this up? And Netflix has stood firm that they're keeping the special up there. That I decided, after hearing so much about this, that, you know what, to really talk about this, I need to watch it. And I watched the entire special, and I can honestly say, you have to watch the whole special, that it's so easy to pull apart. He says, and throughout the whole special, that he's transphobic, but he's actually saying it because he's addressing that the trans community has come after him, and he is not transphobic, really. And he shares a personal story about a transgendered person that he had open his show, that he befriended, that, oh my God, it actually made me cry. Where I think maybe he gets into some trouble is when he's very old school, Dave Chappelle. And so, like, a lot of he questions the whole thing about gender. But what I can honestly say is, when he talked about gay people, and he asked the question, is it possible that a gay person can be racist? That's a fair question, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean,
and we know the answer is yes, right?
Right.
And then he says, quote, "You think I hate gay people?" And he goes, "I don't hate gay people. I'm actually jealous." He says, "I'm not so sure about newer gays. Newer gays are too sensitive. Mm-hmm. I'm for the Stonewall gays, the gays that used glory holes," he said, "and had gay contractors that built the glory holes. The one area that I wrote here," he says, "gay people are minorities until they need to be white again."
Well, that's true.
I think that comment is true unless you happen to be a gay person of color.
Well,
you know, yeah,
that's the only caveat for sure.
Yeah, but I think he was talking about white gays on that. He does say a few things about, you know, he's looking out for the knuckles and the Adam's apples on the trans community.
See?
Which that's kind of throwaway. Yes, but
it's dehumanizing. I mean, and that's not,
yes,
that's not okay.
Ultimately, if you listen to the whole thing, and the one thing I can tell you, because we worked a lot, my sister and I with our production company at the time worked a lot with the trans community and this one bar in San Francisco, Jeremy, you know, Asia SF. Mm-hmm. And they were working on a show and we were filming all these and telling their stories on video. And it was our job to interview them. And a lot of what we learned in that time period several years ago that we still carried with us is that the majority of people that we interacted with that identified as trans, if they wanted to be known as trans woman, in other words, the whole thing about passing as another, they actually wanted to be known, no, I'm a trans woman, I'm a trans man, I have trans male friends, and they want to be known as that. And sometimes what's the plumbing underneath is different. They, not all of them are trying to pass, and either way. And so I think you can get a little dicey when you talk about gender and things of that nature. I think if you listen to his whole special, I'll leave it with this, because he tells a beautiful story about mentoring a comedian that he allowed open for him, who was transgender, and he allowed her to open the story. He said that she ultimately bombed. She wasn't really funny. Her name was Daphne Dorman, and she ended up, even though she bombed, she pulled up a chair and sat in the front row of his act after she bombed and watched the whole show. And he tells this beautiful story on how she was a little intoxicated, but she was talking back during his show to him, and they ended up having this back and forth thing where he was asking her everything about kind of being a transgender, and they were hilarious back and forth. And that she ultimately wrote on Twitter how he gave her an opportunity, how he's misunderstood, that no, he welcomed her, gave her an opportunity, and that they are actual friends. He was going to continue to mentor her. Sadly, she took her life 6 days later because she wrote on Twitter, and it's not known whether or not that had anything to do with it. But she did have a daughter. And he tells the story that he set up a trust fund for her daughter that when she turns 21, he's going to personally hand it to her and tell her about her mother.
Wow.
And he does make a joke about that at the end. "I'm going to tell you about your father." He was who was an incredible man, a woman.
Aww.
And I thought that was kind of brilliant. Look. And so
I'm glad you watched it. Now I don't have to watch it. Now I know all the jokes now, and they're funny.
Right. So, sorry. I mean,
No.
Maybe I'll post in there that I'm going to give away some things in here.
Yeah, no, it's fine. But I think that I don't think Dave Chappelle is transphobic personally, but I think that a lot of his jokes allow people the opportunity to be transphobic. And I think that's what the trans community is trying to get at.
Well, you know, it's interesting because the very last comment he makes at the end is he says he's done. He's done with talking about the LGBTQ community from here on out until we can all be on the same page. and or not the same page, because that's a horrible thing to say, but until we can all understand each other, because that's ultimately and laugh at the same things. And I really believed what he had to say. I'm obviously butchering a lot of his jokes, and I invite all you good. All to watch it. To watch it for, I know, I think I was really excited. I invite you guys all, listening audience, to watch it for yourselves, because I thought, you know what? When there's a lot of fodder going out there, you got to ultimately hunker down and watch it for yourself and see where things are coming from. Honestly, I love the special. I'm for it and him. And I don't think he's transphobic. And I now know why Netflix is keeping it up. Mm. We can't cancel everybody for what they're saying. And ultimately, actually, his messaging and what he's really saying is really quite awesome and beautiful and is not inciting hate. I don't think if you watched this special, if you were on the verge of doing anything lascivious towards a trans person, you're not getting that from Dave Chappelle or this special. There's plenty of other people out there that are spewing hate speech. He's not doing that. He's misunderstood with it and figuring it out like many people are. Were you going to say something, Cody?
I'm like, are we moving to the next subject?
We can. But no, if you say what you want to say.
I'm going to say something. I'm not going to watch it personally, because that just signals to Netflix that this is the type of content that we want to watch. And if we stream it, they are only going to think that that is something that's validating for people and that people want to watch. And I think that our trans sisters are, and actually trans brothers and sisters are valid in feeling offended by his comments. So, and I stand in solidarity with them. So I'm not going to be watching it.
Yeah. And all I would say to that is that they're in so much, they have so much hate going on with this special that any analytics, I'm sure, are not going to sway them. I don't know. Yeah. But I would really invite people to watch it to see for yourself and then make an informed decision on whether you think about him or what he's really saying. I did, and I don't feel what he was saying. I think it's an honest conversation. He tells a personal story of... Mm-hmm. A really personal story of a friend of his that was transgender, and I didn't see it that way at all. I don't know, Jeremy, any thoughts? I know you're kind of coming out of left field on this before we move on.
I don't really like his humor, and I don't watch his shows. I have seen it before, but I mean, I'm kind of in the middle with what both of you have said. I do think that it does leave it up for anyone's interpretation, but that's pretty much any comedian's content.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I do also think there are positive points that you made about his history with transgender community as well, and his personal friendship with Daphne.
Yeah,
also sadly. Is something to take into consideration. But I'm just not a big fan of his.
Right. No, okay. I hear you.
Well, look all at right, Jeremy well, being a bridge between us. I love it. Thank you, Jeremy.
I love it.
Hey, Tags listeners. Craving for more Tags? Hungry like I am? Well, now you can unlock exclusive Tags content. I'm talking about our weekly Tags After Show and our twice monthly Dark and Dirty Show. Now you can listen wherever you get your podcasts. You'll get a notice each week when new episodes are dropped exclusively for you. So what are you getting from this exclusive content? Well, you're getting a weekly Tags After Show where the conversation continues with hot gay sex topics in a more relaxed, behind-the-scenes, more intimate format. Our twice monthly Dark and Dirty Show will often feature special guests like my co-hosts, but gets a little darker and a little dirtier as we reveal our sexcapades to your exclusive ears. So what are you waiting for? Subscribe now to unlock exclusive Tags content and know that you'll be supporting Tags Podcast to continue delivering the quality of Tags Podcast you've come to love. You can unlock this exclusive content by going to tagspodcast.com and click on the link Tags After Show. Thanks for being a supporter and continue having hot gay sex.
Yeah. Well, here's something, this next story that I think is an example of something that may change, hopefully, how we approach certain things. A Texas man who used Grindr to rob and sexually assault gay men has been sentenced to 23 years in prison. There are at least 1 million reasons why this person should be locked up. A Texas man was sentenced to 23 years in federal prison for using the app to commit violent hate crimes against gay men. Officials said Wednesday, Daniel Jenkins, who's 22, pleaded guilty in June to committing a series of robberies, carjackings, and other crimes in the Dallas areas in December of 2017. The Justice Department said in a statement, Jenkins, the last of four co-conspirators charged in the scheme, faced the stiffest sentence of the group. The four men created fake profiles on the popular men's dating app, Grindr, to lure nine men to an apartment complex in Dallas. When the victims arrived, they were held at gunpoint and forced to drive to ATMs to withdraw cash from their accounts.
Wow.
The Justice Department said four of the victims were physically assaulted, three were sexually assaulted, and one was wiped with urine and feces.
Oh my goodness.
It's interesting to me on this one, though, and I think, do you think, because we hear so much right now about the state of Texas with abortion laws changing and just that governor in Texas, but do you think, Jeremy, that this sends a statement on a, like, we're talking about cancel culture with Dave Chappelle, but here, don't you think if you're thinking of doing anything and you see this in Texas, that this, if you do anything with the apps to assault and lure men, you're going to get the slammer for a minimum 23 years, Jeremy. What are your thoughts on that?
I just think it's really scary and unfortunate, and it's super pathetic for an individual to do. And I just hope that people watch out for their own safety and create some sort of boundaries or filtering out just certain signs. And,
yeah.
And also, like we've talked about in the past, maybe like alerting friends if they are not really aware of what, where they're going or what they're getting into, just in case for like their own safety. But I mean, I do get it. There's also so many ways that you could easily fall into these situations where you're just very vulnerable, because hooking up is vulnerable in itself, and using the apps makes you vulnerable, and you're putting yourself at risk for sure. So I just would hope that everyone would try and stay safe, and it's really disheartening and sad to hear.
Yeah, and Cody, what are your thoughts about sending a signal to the rest, anybody that's even thinking of doing something like this, that you will get hardcore prison time? Because we hear about horrible crimes all the time, and we never really know what goes on with them. Trans people are murdered. Obviously, they're looking for some of these murderers, but sometimes it seems like a slap on the wrist here and there.
Oh, yeah.
This was assault, and this person is getting 23 years in prison in the state of Texas, I might add.
I know, right? It's just a signal to all those people that are thinking about doing lascivious things that there are repercussions for your actions, and that kind of stuff is not acceptable. Harming people, fooling people, tricking people into harm's way is not okay. So I'm glad that the book was thrown at that person, because it's deplorable.
Totally deplorable. Absolutely. Yeah, I think it sends a major signal, and I'm really happy about this.
Likewise.
Yeah, I wanted to get your guys' interest. There's a current Reddit thread that's entitled, "Is he losing interest?" I think we've all been there a little bit, so let's have a little bit of empathy for this person. He writes, "I've been seeing this guy for a little over 2 months. He's never been super chatty via the text message, but always seems very interested when we're together. Lately, he's been even less communicative and will only respond a few times per day and only when I reach out first. Initially, I was concerned, but he keeps planning dates with me, so I'm not sure how to interpret that. He's a very direct guy, and I feel like if he had lost interest, he'd be forthright with it, but I'm starting to second guess. He's currently on vacation this week with friends, and I haven't heard much from him. I'm trying not to be clingy and give him some space, but I'm sort of spiraling and a bit worried that he's not into me. Do you think he's losing interest, and why does he keep planning dinner dates?" It writes the guy. Jeremy, what are your thoughts on this? I don't know if it's clingy, but we've all been there before.
Oh, yeah. I'm
wondering, is he just as into me as I am? What are your thoughts, Jeremy?
I don't know. I just feel like I get annoyed by things like that. And I like a good texter or someone that can carry the conversation over phone or
responsive,
text or
right?
In person. Yeah. And I don't like the excuse of not receiving like a response back. And I hate the whole game of like 20 hours later, or you know what I mean? When you know bitches are checking their Snapchat and TikTok and Instagram.
Yup, get them.
Emails and all that shit. So I just think it's like, it's lame. And if you can carry it in person, you can carry it on text.
It's funny because a lot of people on the thread were, yes, you're give him some space. It's only been, he's on vacation. Let him be on holiday. Sure, text him sometimes, but you need to chill out. Somebody wrote, "You're just dating and only for 2 months. I get that you like him, but he might seem to take things slow."
Yeah.
I don't know. What are your thoughts on this, Cody?
So the impression that I get is that guy is probably dating other people, and this mm-hmm. guy should probably start dating other people and exploring a little bit more himself. And
ooh, that's good. Yeah.
Because he's putting a bunch of all of his energy and his focus on just one person, whereas the other person, it seems like they're just out there dating multiple people. And that's why the reciprocation is not at the same level. If this was
right, the guy could be playing the field.
Exactly.
Possibly, then all of his eggs are in one basket with this one that may just drop him.
Yeah.
Or just drop the situation. But I mean, yeah, I would just keep your options open.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing, too, because I think the younger Steve V here would have been this guy writing in and put all my eggs and wondered. And the new me, like, obviously with age, I'm a late bloomer here, y'all. And is somebody that, like, told you the story earlier, went to see the guy, he showed me it. And then I ended up dropping it. Like, I'm just dropping it now. Like, I'm moving on. And I'm glad I got all of that under control early on to make a decision and, yeah, move on. Because I just don't want to be that person that is wondering. If I'm wondering, then I should really be dating somebody else or moving on or
mm-hmm. yeah.
filling up my dance card a little bit more or keeping myself busy. Because if I'm living in my head like that, that person probably isn't. Mm-hmm. And who am I torturing? Myself.
Exactly.
Right.
It's time to then, if you find yourself in those conundrums, it's especially after 2 months only. Now, if this was a long-term thing, then you could bring up, hey, I think we're off on our communication. When I text you, it doesn't seem like you respond. But if it's that early on, I say get out there and create some other realities, hang out with some friends, find some new activities to fill that time that you would be spending thinking about why isn't he calling or texting me back?
Agreed. Right. And but yeah. as long as he's inviting you out to dinner dates, you go get that free meal, okay? You got to do it.
Oh, yeah. Assuming it's, yeah, right.
No, because he's paying. He's yeah. inviting, so he's paying. That's the rule.
Yeah, that is the rule. That is the rule.
So well, the other thing that I thought about, too, was it's not very nice to be into someone and then you always have to insinuate the like reach out. I don't like that either. So I like when someone like cares about how your day is going, and it doesn't have to be a trillion texts all day, because I don't really love that either. But
right.
it is nice when you're not always the one to reach out like every single day or every other day or whatever. And it's nice to have someone want to know what you are doing during the day or how it's going.
Yeah, and it's almost like you have to learn that nice rhythm. That's the only word mm-hmm. that I can think of. That rhythm of when you reach out, it's like you throw a volley and they receive the volley and they throw it back with their text and their day, how they're doing. And then you might throw it back with a little light. Yeah, this. And then they throw it back for a little bit. And then one of you knows when to like, okay, that was good. And let the day go on. And that was cute, right? And let that linger in the ether of cuteness until the next time one of you throws the next volley. And you've got to find that rhythm, if you will, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. to keep it intriguing on both ends. And when that dies, then it's like, okay, you know, forget it, move on. And yeah, because too much of you don't want to be having, you know, a game by yourself. It's not very fun.
Exactly.
So right. anyways, yeah, that's our thoughts on that. I had to get your advice on this next one, Jeremy, for sure. And I want to hear from you as well, Cody. But Billy Porter is criticizing Vogue for featuring Harry Styles in a dress. He goes, "I was the first one doing it," which I love that he says that. Billy Porter is addressing an issue he has with Vogue after the publication featured Harry Styles in a dress. Last year, the 27-year-old musician, Harry Styles, became the first man to land a solo cover of Vogue, where he graced the December 2020 issue in a lace-trimmed dress and tuxedo jacket. Now, in a new interview with the Sunday Times, the Pose star, 52, says he took issue with how Styles was praised for breaking gender norms. As Porter says, he was the first one doing it. I have to totally agree. "I changed the whole game," Porter told the publication. "I personally changed the whole game." And motherfucker, he should have added. "And that is not ego, that is just fact. I was the first one doing it, and now everyone is doing it." He's quoted as saying, "I feel like the fashion industry has accepted me because they have to. I'm not necessarily convinced, and here is why." The actor continued, "I created the conversation about non-binary fashion, and yet Vogue still put Harry Styles, a straight white man, in a dress mm-hmm. on their cover for the first time." I have to jump to you immediately, Jeremy, Mr. Fashion, to get your thoughts on this. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I'm not really that surprised that they did that. And I think the praise is just because of seeing him wearing it and not Billy Porter. I do totally understand Billy Porter's gripe, and I do give him credit where credit is due, and I do believe he really set that trend, and he does have to just be accepted by the people that probably aren't his biggest fans or don't absolutely love him or his work, but they tolerate it. The people that are in the fashion industry or like just certain brands and things. But I, on the other hand, don't mind seeing a cis white male in fashion magazine wearing this, because it's not surprising to me. So I mean, it's not shocking, and we are always taking baby steps towards adding different sizes and shapes and colors of people in any fashion magazines. But also, American Vogue is like kind of the worst one.
I'm glad you just said that. I'm so glad you just said the word American.
They honestly don't use the best representation of culture out of all of the magazines we have to choose from. Armenian Vogue, Japan Vogue, Italian Vogue.
What about British Vogue?
British Vogue is amazing too, but those are just a few of my favorite that just have incredible styling and culture and diversity. And so I don't really go and reach for
an American Vogue.
American Vogue compared to any of their sisters. And I also like Harper's Bazaar better.
Great, excellent points. And I love that you said American. And Cody, it reminds me of the conversation you and I were having about the whole thing about America. And we were just talking about the Dancing with the Stars with putting two women together. And then you presented a video of the counterpart, the British dance company show that Strictly had Strictly Come Dancing, thank you, that had a black man and a white man doing a beautiful dance together that was just tear jerking. And I think Billy Porter to me is, it's a more of an American thing that yes, we will get there. I do agree he is the first, because if you notice, Jeremy, we were talking about this recently about some of the latest fashions of a lot of, like, no longer is it just acceptable just to wear a black tuxedo to the award shows anymore, particularly if you're gay. Now all of them, and we listed them on a previous show, all the different actors that are doing it, some better than others. True. Like, not all of them are, like, to me, just because you're gay or LGBTQ doesn't mean you know how to wear fashion, in my mind. Right. I don't think everybody does. So sometimes just stick with the, you know, the basics. Billy Porter, to me, is a pioneer in that. And it was pioneering for him with all his fashion choices. And so I don't know that that necessarily translates to you getting the cover. And to your point, Jeremy, I think that American Vogue has not shown love for the true pioneers. They go for pop culture more than that. I think he would do better getting on a cover of British Vogue or somewhere else. And because sometimes we have to look outside, sadly, even in our American pop culture. I don't know, Cody, what are your thoughts on this?
I just think it's sad. And it's a tale that's as old as time. It's been going on forever. They always put the white art, white straight person on the cover, and when it's really the black and the queer people that are actually making the change and pushing the boundaries. So I just think it's sad, and but it's not unexpected.
I would totally 100% agree with you as well, and I would also add an ageist culture. You know, he's a black man and we're the same age, so I'm saying it, that, you know, heaven forbid, the other one who were we talking about, I can't remember his
Harry
name,
Harry Styles
is like super, is young, right? And so he, of course, they
who is amazing in his own right, like, I'm not shitting on Harry Styles, but Billy Porter his flowers too, right?
Well, and hello, I mean, practically triple threat, right? I mean, actor, Broadway, singer, shall we go on? I mean, has done so much. And yes, Harry's super talented, but is a pop artist, right?
Yeah.
Of the moment. But I think what we're all saying, it's pop culture, it's an age-old game. I think he's right to call it out as he sees fit. And I think some of the other Vogues editors should say, hey, Billy, come our way, and we'll put the OG of what you do on the cover and almost slam American Vogue. Would be brilliant.
And give us all a credit.
Give us all a credit, yes. Oh my gosh, this has been so much fun. Welcome back, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can follow Jeremy and see. Did you post any pictures from Aruba?
Two pictures.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks for those two. We'll look for those. Follow Jeremy at J. Ross Lopez. And follow Cody. He's a life coach at KMD Coaching, or his personal one, to look at that chest, at Mr. Maurice, at Mr. Maurice. Follow us on the gram at Tags Podcast, or on TikTok. We're on TikTok now at Tags Podcast. I'm having a lot of fun with those videos. Ooh. And in the meantime, yeah, check it out. And in the meantime, you guys, continue having
hot gay sex.